Hello and welcome to the Awaken to Wholeness Summit. I'm Val Salidkar. Today we have an amazing woman who completely embodies what it means to be a catalyst for peace, Jo Ingelson. Jo is the founder of TOFA, Token of Appreciation, and the Gratitude Training, which has had over 10,000 people move through its doors. And the creative force behind Gratitude, the show, a one-woman variety show that explores the importance of gratitude and appreciation in one's life. Source Movement is her first published book. Jo's title on her business card is Creative Peacemaker. She is a light in this world, and her charisma and loving heart have already been a catalyst for change and the context for a transformed world. Jo, it's awesome to have you with us again.
Do I have to live up to all that you just said now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to strive for something, right?
Me
and integrity. We're going to talk about that.
Wait.
Jo, your work is so needed in our world right now. I mean, we are just, you know, we're in it. We're in it, you know, between the recent election, you know, Standing Rock, Aleppo, and so much is happening in our world. I mean, there's just, you know, it's intense. And to become centered in our own being and what it means to feel peaceful inside and to act out from a space of peace in a world that feels so combative right now is just really needed. Really grateful for your work. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was just talking to someone today and they were talking about how it's so difficult to even talk about peace or anything because everybody's so divided right now that he actually was like, I don't even talk about it anymore. And I said, no, we need to talk about it. You know? And really, as long as we talk about what we're up to, which is peace and unity, then you can speak to anyone, you know?
Yeah. I think no matter what it is that we're feeling, even on, you know, how we're acting out, which is not always in integrity with who we are, which we'll dive into in a bit. But I think underneath it all, you know, we all really want to feel peace. We want to feel inside. We want to act from that space. You know, we want to feel unified in this world. Nobody wakes up in the morning looking for a fight, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're really being invited into that right now. And your work is an invitation and some really practical tools to show us how to embody that in our own lives. And I wonder, so how did you come into this space of recognizing yourself as a catalyst for peace in your life?
You know, it's amazing because I actually took a personal development training about, that's almost 11 years ago now. And I, you know, the way I ended up in this training was just like almost by a fluke. You know, my wife at the time said, you're going, I don't want to go. And I'm like, I don't even know what it is. And I end up in this training, and it was one of those trainings that was like an interruption to everything that I thought was real. And it was just that, like, I'd never seen anyone speak to people in a way that's so direct and honest and on point, instead of us running around in life like buying each other's BS. Because that's a lot of what we do. We just buy each other's BS, and then we don't really take a stand for each other. We don't really speak to the highest selves of our peers, you know? And so I really, like, was catapulted into, oh my God. And what I saw in that training for me, I saw for the first time that I had been using my power. I was always a very joyous and powerful person, but I had been using that power for not good, you know, to get ahead or to, you know, manipulate or to, you know, all these things that I didn't even see it, you know?
Yeah.
And so at that point, I was totally in, and I completed the full program, which was a three-part journey, which is what the gratitude training today is based on, that journey that I took. And then I had this really, really profound moment that happened in my third part, which is, I was at an airport and I literally ran into an older gentleman and I wasn't really paying attention, and he fell to the ground. And I knew, based on, you know, where my consciousness still was at the time, I was like, oh, he's going to get mad at me. And so I was like bracing myself, but instead he got up and he hugged me and he goes, I bet you do this all the time, you know, like that kind of a thing. And in that moment, he was such an interruption to what I thought was and what could be. Mm. And there was a gap. And I realized that it's all really what we are thinking that we're creating. And I was so grateful for him and this interruption that out of that, I created a whole gratitude movement in the world. I don't know if you want to hear about that.
But I want to hear about that for sure. Yes.
So I actually got on the plane and I'm like, oh my God, like what do we do in those moments of gratitude when someone actually, you know, maybe you have a bad day and someone opens the door and it just makes your day, or someone smiles or they do something. And I thought, what if we actually had a physical token?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, like a coin, you know? So I thought of a token of appreciation. So that day, I invented the token of appreciation, which is a coin that you give someone that says, thank you for making a difference in my day. And they're all trackable, so you can see online where the love and gratitude is spreading throughout the world.
I got one years ago.
So yeah.
I didn't know what it was, and somebody presented it to me after a workshop that I taught, and it was really beautiful. I actually got it on video somewhere.
Oh, that's so cool.
Part of the testimonial. Yeah, it was really sweet. So that was my first introduction to you, actually.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. So I think there's about 20 something thousand tokens in circulation all over the world right now. And you can track them on this map. And that was kind of like, you know, what happened for me was the training that I took combined with, you know, actually completing on an idea and a passion and finding my purpose. I started realizing that, oh my God, like I could be the catalyst for change. It's up to me. Like if it's to be, it's up to me.
Yeah.
You know, not from a, oh, that's too much to do, but from a powerful stand, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a difference when we, you know, the word duty feels very heavy, or even responsibility. Like we use it a lot, but sometimes that even feels heavy.
Yeah.
I love to say, like, when we really kind of get this aha moment and we feel it throughout our whole body,
yeah,
it's like an invitation to fall in love with
duty.
And it's from that space of our falling in love that we feel like I have to act. Like I can't not. I can't.
Exactly.
I just, everything in my being wants to do this. So it's like no longer a duty. It's like a sacred service that we are so excited to perform and be part of.
And that's actually what happened, because I decided that day that the day that I had actually minted the tokens and created the website and everything, and I launched the company, I decided to give a token away every day for 365 days, which is, you know, when you have a New Year's resolution, I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week. And then 3 weeks later, you're like not doing it anymore. But because of what you just said, that passion and that, like, I cannot not do this. The commitment was so much stronger than that. I talk in my book about the parrot that keeps repeating the things. Oh, you don't have to do it. You're not good enough. You can't do this. You can't do 365 days, blah, 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 blah. But I had that other one that was just like, oh, yes, you can. Mm. And it was so incredibly powerful. And I finished the whole year and I put it on YouTube every day. I would edit and like make sure it all happened.
So did you have a video for each day?
Like Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple of times where I was either traveling or like I was somewhere like remote where I had to like, do like a few days in one video, but there was a moment that happened every day.
That's so awesome, Joe. And so this experience for you that kind of catapulted you into creating the token and then creating the gratitude training has now become a platform for so many people to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Here's another, you know, launch board, jump on, jump off, you know, and do your amazing work in the world.
So That's exactly what the trainings are about. It's about creating leaders that will have that awakening to who they can be in the world, where it's like how we come home to our families and how we are at work and how we are at Starbucks is actually displayed in what's happening in the world. So when we're going around warring wherever we go and with our dukes up, we're actually generating the stuff that's happening in the world. Which could be like, oh, I'm not generating that. However, but if you realize that you may be, then you can also be the one that ungenerate it. That was a new word.
Yes, ungenerated.
Yes, ungenerated.
And so you've taken all of this and everything that you've learned in your life and your experience of your beautiful journey and put it into this incredible book, Source Movement.
Yes.
I want to dive into your book because I feel like that really captures the heart and soul of everything you stand for and what the gratitude training is all about. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that too towards the end when we get into the community aspect of it. Yeah. But I would love to just dive in to Source Movement. And, you know, you talk about five main principles on how to become a catalyst for peace.
Yeah. The way that the book came about for me was really through my own experience of getting to that peace within myself. Because I'm the kind of person now that I wake up every morning, my wife says I wake up like I pop up like a piece of toast. Like, that's just who I am. And having that kind of a peace. And so I was looking at everything that had occurred for me to generate that result. And how can I now put that in a book to support people in getting to that place? And then also, once you're in that place, realize that you're not just getting peace for yourself. The moment you're at peace, you are generating peace in the world. And I really firmly believe that.
Yes, indeed. And we are the source for everything. Like, everything. Yeah. We are responsible for everything. We create it all. It's up to you. Yeah. You know, to right, it starts from within, and then how we show up in the world that creates the world.
Exactly.
At least the human species, you know, that part of it, which affects everything else. So how we show up really begins with how we are in integrity with ourselves.
Yeah, and so the first principle is integrity, and I really, really got integrity when I did the trainings. That's why that kind of comes first for me. And it's basically saying that we're always in integrity, no matter what. Now, we can look at integrity on different levels of, like, just, you know, being on time, being our word. But really, at the deep level of it, it's like, am I actually living what I say I am? So if I say I'm loving, am I loving? Mm. If I say I'm a great mother, am I a great mother? You know, like, am I showing that at home? Am I living it? And so that's where the integrity is like really, really beautiful when you start looking at it that way. Now, the great part about integrity is, I said, you're always in integrity. So if I say that I'm a great mother, but then I go home and I'm mean to my children, right, I'm saying you're still in integrity. But what you're in integrity with is the conversation that has you be not a good mother. There's a conversation. We are always whole, perfect, and complete. But the conversations that we have about ourselves are going to have us show a certain result. So we're actually
in unaligned conversations.
Huh?
This is about, yes, unaligned conversations that you, okay, that's kind of the
book. Yeah. So the question is not, you know, it's great because when you start seeing that the places that you're actually out of integrity is just showing you, like, out of integrity in the sense we, most people see it, it's actually showing you where you have those unaligned conversations. So, you know, I say that maybe you say that you want to be a doctor, but then you have a conversation that says, I am not smart enough to be a doctor. That's coming from, like, way back when. You're going to create results in school that are going to not have you be a doctor, you know, because of that conversation. So once you start seeing that, wait, I'm not a doctor, but I say I want to be a doctor, what are those conversations? And start addressing those and begin to change those. So that you now bring alignment with what you're saying that you want and what you believe that you can and be.
And so in what sense are we in integrity if we're like to like the deeper calling that says, I want to be a doctor, and yet we're creating this, you know, the poor grades and the this and this because our limiting belief system is telling us that we're not good enough. So where are we in integrity?
Your results, which is bad grades, right, you're actually in integrity because the conversation that you have inside says bad grades.
So you're in it. You're in integrity with your limiting beliefs.
Yes.
But you're not aligned with your deeper knowing.
Exactly. So it's powerful because instead of just being like, oh, I was late. Oh, I'm sorry, I was late. I'm out of integrity. You can go, wow, I'm out of integrity in this particular instance, I'm late, but what am I in integrity with here? There's more. And it's a powerful place to start looking. Okay, I'm actually in integrity with people don't matter, so I'm late, or I'm in integrity with I don't matter and I'm never going to be on time, like whatever the conversations may be. And once you start peeling the onion, most of the time it ends up with conversations about I'm not good enough, you know, I don't matter, you know, that kind of a deep rooted thing, or I feel separation, I don't feel whole.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a powerful invitation to take a look at the thoughts that we may not even be aware that we think.
Yeah.
Our actions and the results of our actions.
Yeah.
And those thoughts, you know, some of them are habitual thoughts that have been with us like since childhood.
Yeah.
Really, we don't even think about them anymore because we tend to go on automatic in our lives.
Yeah. You know,
we live these habits.
That's the thing. We just do life most of the time. And it's like that stopping and looking and then choosing something that's going to work. Like I sometimes say, I do this myself. I ask, what would love do? I'm sure you've heard that before, but like, you know, I might be ready to get in an argument with someone and I go, whoa, what would love do? And I can guarantee you love wouldn't do what I was just about to do.
Yeah.
And I get to then choose differently.
I love that. And I say something like X is how we are right now, and Y is the highest vision of who we want to be. So it's like the doctor or the, you know, the greater we know about ourselves. And so when we act out our X, which is a lot of times, sometimes great and sometimes part of the habits that aren't serving us. And so the question then each time we get to reflect is, what would Y do?
Yeah.
What would the Y of me do? What decision would Y make? And even if you don't catch it, you can look back and go, what would have Y done in that situation?
Yeah.
It becomes like life becomes the great experiment.
And we
those thresholds to just keep knowing ourselves and identifying a better choice in those moments that are more in alignment with the conversation with our higher self.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Awesome. That's great. I like that.
Yeah. So there's integrity. That's the first principle. And the second principle is responsibility, which is such a big one.
Well, it actually kind of, it transitions really well from integrity too, especially based on the conversation we had, because then what if I have these conversations or belief systems that generate the stuff that I'm putting out in the world? Now, I get to take responsibility for that, right? So I get to take responsibility for the bad grades. You know, I get to own up to, and I said earlier, I said, if it's to be, it's up to me. It's really responsibility from the space of I'm responding to life and I'm clear that I'm generating it, you know, and that I said earlier, even with, you know, I can go as far as to take responsibility for a tsunami. I could go that far. That's me. I'm not saying that everyone gets to go that far, but at least take responsibility for your thoughts and your belief systems and your actions and everything that you interpret, like we are interpreting machines. So if we can at least take responsibility for that, then we can start beginning to shift how we interact with the world. And it gives us all the power.
Yes, it does. It gives us our power back. I mean, I think I'm thinking a couple of things. One, I'm thinking about how prevalent that kind of victim consciousness or label that we give ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We live that into it. And I want to talk about why we do that. And then, you know, so let's just do that. Let's talk about why do we sometimes label ourselves as the victim and we really feel victimized and we live that role and it becomes almost a self-fulfilling prophecy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we get a lot of goodies. That's the thing. We get a lot of goodies. I mean, people feel sorry for you. You don't have to take certain action. You can play small. No one's going to blame you for anything. Pity. I mean, there's a lot of goodies in living from a space that life happens to me.
Right.
Okay. There's a lot of goodies. And that's why we do it. Also, I believe that there's a mass consciousness of like, you know, millions and millions of years that is also like more like that bigger space that we've all generated a certain mood, a certain way to kind of fit into the world. And a lot of that is coming from a space that it happens to me, not I am generating it.
Right. And when we think of it as something that's happening to us, it takes Like, we have no power to control it.
Yeah.
And it also makes me think about, and this is the second part I was going to say earlier, is like, you know, when we say, oh, you know, someone's making me so mad, someone's making me feel this way, you know, and so therefore the only way that I can feel at peace or happy is if they make me feel that. They have to now come back and apologize. They need to recognize what they did wrong, or I'm not going to be at peace. Like, my happiness is completely dependent on an outside source, on someone else or something else happening to me, again, something happening to me in order for me to feel good about myself. So we give all of our power away.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, and like, we actually choose to live from that space a lot. And I see it all the time. Like, I mean, once in a while I may still do it. You know, we're not perfect, but I see some people literally swimming in that pool of, you know, it's everybody else's fault. And if you guys don't change, and it doesn't work that way. And one of the ways that I know it doesn't work that way is because I used to, before I did the trainings, I used to get very angry around my mom. Every time I was around her, anger would just come up and I would be like short with her. And then I did the, and my brother has his stuff with her too. Then I did the trainings, and over some years coming and visiting her and doing things, suddenly like my anger was gone. And the moment what my anger was gone, she was suddenly showing up in a way that I wanted her to be, you know? Yeah. And so I always say it only takes one to tango. It does not take two to tango. Yeah, that's, it takes one.
It takes one. And it's true. Like, even when we look at, you know, intimate relationships, and we say things like, you know, well, a relationship is 50-50. And I was like, no, it's not. It's 100%.
Yeah.
And just show up 100%. And the other person is disarmed. When you become 100% with love, and that's not always easy to do. Again, we're talking about like the ideal action, right?
I know.
Yeah, but we have to talk about that so that we have our awareness. So when we get into those moments of habitual actions or thoughts, we can start identifying them, and it becomes this lifetime process. But we have to start that conversation, as you said.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And then, you know, and then I actually see my brother, who has not like done that kind of work, he still has that same relationship. And we can be at the same event, and I come home, I'm like, oh, mom was so amazing last night. And he'd be like, I can't believe that mom XYZ. And I'm like, wow, it's not mom, it's us. You know, it's how we're interpreting it. Like, she's completely innocent in the whole picture. It's amazing.
It's amazing. And it is amazing that when you take that responsibility back, like, we really invite others to join us on that journey.
Yeah.
And it can end the war. It can
really absolutely end the war.
And like, absolutely. I just love what's happening in our world right now with this whole us versus them mentality. They feel like this. They act like this. They want this. They, them.
Yeah.
And how are we creating this? How are we contributing to this? How, in what ways aren't we showing up? You know, like, to start asking those questions gives us really powerful tools.
Yeah. And I feel like the political environment that's been going on, like, it's really putting people like us at test.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we get to now, you know, step into living what we're really teaching, you know, and you know, I find myself, like, just the other day I was reading news, and I found myself reading the articles that I agreed with. And when I saw something I didn't agree, I didn't read it. And so I calmed myself. So then I decided that I need to be completely neutral and just take information in and then, you know, be neutral about it and see where I stand. And I decided to go and read and watch a bunch of stuff that I normally wouldn't. And it was incredibly enlightening.
You know, Joe, I did the same exact thing, especially around the election, because, and I'm going to say Facebook, right? We're all on Facebook. Facebook is almost like our main news source, which is crazy. Fake news and misinformation, you know, disinformation. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself like in that echo chamber, right? Everybody's saying what I feel. I'm like, I have some friends that have very different points of view about things.
Yeah.
And I started going to their pages and clicking on some of their articles and looking at some of the videos they were posting. And I'm like, this is very interesting. And I did it on purpose so that my news feed would become a little bit more neutral, because I was fed by, you know, we get fed by what we click on. So the more we start clicking on the same thing, we get fed the same. Yeah. And it is really important for us to take a look at those different points of view, because it shift us slightly. We get attached to our ideas. You know, and that I think that's another way of taking responsibility on a collective level, like a personal level, but it really has a collective effect when we start looking at the collective points of view and what's happening to us as a society.
Yeah. And we're not going to be able to move people towards love and peace and all the stuff if we don't understand them. Like, I went as far as to watch, I can't remember his name, the guy that's running one of the the alt-right movements. And I decided to watch a 35-minute speech that he had for his community. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to see what I see here. And I saw he was a great speaker. He had like backed up his information with facts that, you know, now, however he twisted it, but it was like, I was like, wow, I can understand why someone would actually go, well, this makes sense. I feel important, you know? And I was like, now I know if I meet him, I know exactly how to be with him.
Yeah. And that's an opening for a sort of a healthier conversation.
Yeah.
Otherwise we're parroting.
Yeah.
Right. There's the parrot. We're parroting what we see. We're parroting what we hear. And, you know, and we see that too. You know, yeah. And, you know, there's certain news sources and we can say it I hate to say both sides, but you know what I mean? On the right point of view, the left point of view, you know, the left point of view, that are so extreme that then we just hear people reiterating those exact cliches, those exact, you know, sound bites over and over and over and over. And it's like, we got to go deeper. We have to go deeper. So yeah, it really is an invitation to engage in a deeper conversation that gets underneath those layers, because we find so much similarity in those places.
Yeah, which is, you know, which brings us, you know, to gratitude, you know, and that's even actually the last three principles, gratitude, service, and community. That's all about us coming together and uniting in just that kind of a, like, in gratitude. And how do we connect and how do we work together to be in service to the whole? And I mean, that's what I'm signing up for.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, gratitude is such an important thing to talk about. And I know, I love how you, you know, you differentiate in your book, the difference between being thankful and being in gratitude. Can you share that?
Okay. Yeah, so thankful is more like you're thankful for something either, you know, in the moment, or like you're comparing to something else. Whereas gratitude is like, I am grateful for XYZ and it's perfectly exactly how it's supposed to be. And it's just that beingness. It's like a beingness of I trust. Mm-hmm. I trust that everything is as it should be and I'm grateful for it.
The state of being. And, you know, I feel like gratitude is a revolutionary act. You know, it's like a subversive act in our world where we live in this world, and I'm thinking of, like, you know, the multi-billion-dollar advertising industry that's there to tell us that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough unless you have this car, this outfit, this hair, these boobs, like on and on and on, right? Yeah. You have to look like this, be like this, act like this, have this much money in order to be worthy. And that we're spoon-fed our whole lives, these crazy ideas. And so being in a state of gratitude, I am enough.
I am enough.
You know, everything is great in this moment as it is. And whatever feels uncomfortable, you know, I can look at as a lesson or an invitation to look deeper into how I connect to that. Like, there's just all these invitations around us. And by doing that, we completely, you talk about responsibility, we completely take our power back. From feeling like someone else needs to give me my beauty, someone else needs to give me my worth.
Yeah, totally.
Ooh. So gratitude is a big one. And, you know, and so you have this show that's awesome, which I've seen, you know, this one woman show. Let's talk about your one woman show and what's inside.
God, you know, I'm so excited because I get to schedule another one. We've been really busy the last year, but yes, I have a one woman show called The Gratitude Show, which is literally telling the story of gratitude, my story, but it's using the community and they're actually performing throughout the story. So it's kind of like a curveball kind of a show. There's a lot of things happening and there's dancing, there's singing, there's comedy, there's like hula hooping, flow, poetry, there's everything in this one show.
It's so much fun.
I love you came with your son.
We did. And your son was there too.
Yes, he was. I can't believe they're they're getting so old already.
I know. It was awesome. And one of the things that I really, that really stuck with me too, was that this whole skit that you did on giver and taker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, it's actually huge, because it's kind of like the ego versus spirit. Like, we all have a giver and a taker inside of us. It's kind of like the parent voice and the higher voice. Mm. And it's like this constant battle. And when I illustrated through the giver and taker, which I actually in the show, I have myself behind myself on video, both as giver and taker. So you can kind of see the struggle that goes on in us. And I think when we look in front of you,
little sperms.
Right? Oh yeah. it's as I'm being born. It's as the sperm is going up the fallopian tube to fertilize the egg, and giver and taker are like arguing about, like,
it's,
you
like
know,
everything you ever wanted to know about gratitude, but we're afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Woody Allen film, everything you ever wanted to know about sex, but we're afraid to ask. They had the little, it was the same idea, but
That's it. Yeah. And so, I mean, so when I look at giver and taker, like, I've actually now learned, because of this humor with it and because of just the rawness, that I now embrace taker, you know, rather than resisting taker and thinking that the ego is bad and all the stuff. I can embrace both parts of me, and that makes me whole. And as long as I know that I consciously have choice over everything, that not one or the other is just running the show, you know, that I have a choice over this, you know.
Yeah.
Then I can move about freely and peacefully.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And I think you talk about three steps of coming into gratitude in your book. You talk about awareness, clearing out the junk, and being the change.
Yeah. Yeah, and these steps are actually very, they're very aligned with the gratitude training that we have, mm-hmm. where part one is about like awareness. Like, you see, what are the blinders? What are the conversations that stop me? What are the ones that actually has me excel? Like, just becoming aware of it all. And then part two is like, I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and I'm going to break through every single thing that have stopped me in my whole life in 5 days. So that's more like the clearing out the junk. And then the moment you clear out the junk, you actually create like a vacuum. And then it's up to you now, being aware, what do I want to put in here instead? Okay. Which is beautiful, you know? So you kind of get the key to that in part two. And then in part three, it's us going out in the community and doing a legacy project. And you're like now living what you learned for 3 months. And that's now we are being the change. So that really is all of it.
And Joe, I'll tell you what, my little activist self, because, like, you know, I got started with a lot of this as a big time activist, environmental, even animal rights, social.
Yeah.
I got into so much, and I still am. Like, I feel like all the work I do comes from this place of sacred activism, you know, showing up in action. And I love that what you do in the world, in the gratitude training, has this huge element. I mean, it's really, you know, going through who we are, coming into a sense of responsibility, integrity, all these things, and then how we're showing up in the world to make a difference. And so it has this, you know, community-based project.
Yeah.
I look around at so many people that I know that have gone through your training and see the incredible projects that they're doing right now, and how they've continued to spiral.
Yeah. Ooh, and that's the goal. Like, it's change makers.
Totally. It's become like a new life for them.
Yeah.
Like a new focus, a new career, if you will, that's based upon, you know, their deepest calling. And it's so powerful. And it's why I'm in love with you. And why I think that it's so different than some of these other, you know, enroll now, do this project, it'll change, you know, do this program, it'll change your life. Like, this really is not just about changing your life. It's about
this community. Yeah.
Yeah. And that in and of itself is so powerful.
Yeah. I like to, sometimes people ask me if we're personal development, and I usually say, you know what, yes, we are. And we're actually community development, because that's what it's about. It's about how do we come together as a community, you know, getting it, being responsible, coming from all these principles, and then being able to create that change. So we're not doing a project and fighting about it. I mean, you might when you're still in the program, because you're like, you got your training wheels on, which is the powerful thing, because you have guidance through it.
Beautiful. And so there's gratitude that, and that brings us into recognizing how we show up in our service for the world.
Yeah.
The next principle, which is service. And you have a beautiful quote on one of your sites: when we awaken to our truth and our purpose in life, we open up space to be in service and authentically contribute to humanity.
That's it. I mean, it's, I think that, you know, I had a moment on an airplane when I was doing the giving year, when I was giving out a token every day, because slowly this gratitude started creeping into my soul because I was being in gratitude every day. And I had this moment on an airplane where it was almost like I went from one world to another world in the same moment. Like I was looking at everyone in the plane and they're all putting up their bags and it's like stressful, da, 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 da. And for like, I don't know what happened, but it was like next moment, it was like a dance. And I looked and I just felt this peace inside and I looked at everyone. I'm like, oh, like it was, I almost felt like I had taken drugs or something, which I hadn't. But it was like everything,
by the way,
it all made sense that it, whatever I felt inside was me. It had nothing to do with the outside, that I could literally flip the switch at any point in time. And the moment you flip that switch, you are already in service. The moment you see the world as perfect, whole, and complete, and another human being as perfect, whole, and complete, you are being in service. It doesn't mean that you got to go to the soup kitchen and you know, you're all stressed out and feeding out, you know, feeding the homeless. It means that you can still go to the soup kitchen and you're doing it with peace and love. And it's an amazing way of being. And now you're being in service, not just to the people you're feeding, but you're being in service on such a bigger scale, because to the people that are there with you and like everybody that you meet.
Oh my God. And how we show up in the world creates a ripple effect that we can never know.
I know.
Just in the obvious ways, like the work that we're doing, or, you know, this summit, for instance, or the events that I do, or the gratitude training, or those are big and obvious.
Yeah.
Just by showing up and maybe giving someone a hug who bumped into you.
Yeah.
Can change their life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I had an opportunity yesterday to speak at a school in Palm Beach Gardens. It was Ideal School of Advanced Learning. It was a private school. And they were like 12 to 14 year old. And, you know, I couldn't tell as I was speaking how involved they were until afterwards, when they like stormed me and were like, I want to create peace. I want to find a token. You know, like they were just like, and I was like, wow, like I have no idea what may happen because of that talk. And I told them that before I even started talking to them. I said, because of what you're going to, my intention is, because of what you're here to learn today, you're going to, the world is never going to be the same. Mm. And they're like, okay. Like they were just in, it was beautiful.
I love it. And I love how you declare what is, this is it.
Here. Yeah.
Now let's dive into it.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. It's really important. You know, and coming again, you know, just coming into that state of gratitude for everything that is. And let's be honest, sometimes that's really hard to do, you know, and it could be something like just something tragic, losing a loved one, you know, things like that. And it's like, how do I find gratitude in that? That seems
great.
You know, and there's levels to this. Like on one level, like we, as a human, we need to be able to experience our grief and our sadness. And
absolutely.
We're not talking about not feeling that.
Not at all. No. It's about feeling it and being grateful that you're feeling it.
Being grateful to feel that deeply.
Yeah.
Being grateful for the moments that you shared with that person. You know, being ultimately grateful for how it moves in you and what it's to notice in your own life, or to appreciate life in a new way. Like it, and feel it all at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. We're not talking, you know, I try to be really careful about the blissing out thing. And this has probably come up a couple of times in the summit. Because it's like, you know, there's like part of a community, like, that wants to just bliss it all out, and how dangerous that can be. So I'm really clear about that. Feel it all and also look for the gifts in it. And look for the gifts in it. You know, that's being ultimately in that state.
Yeah, and also being able to be like connected with people. So like, you know, I heard of someone that went to like a funeral, and they, you know, they were blissing out, they brought champagne and the, you know, whatever, but like the other people weren't at that space. And now you're actually not jiving with your environment and your community, and you're not being in service, you know?
I agree with that.
And then it's selfish, actually.
And in some ways, I think what it does is it creates a situation where people who are feeling grief, and especially if they identify themselves as part of a spiritual community or something like that. These ideas of blissing out are so prevalent. It's like, am I allowed to feel this?
And totally.
You start doubting like the human side of you, which is so important and so real, because let's face it, right now we are all in heartbreak for our world.
Yeah.
Not feeling it. Maybe there's a human side of you that you are being invited to look at right now. You know, like I recently just did a powerful ritual that invites us to be in our sadness and our grief and be really present to that. And we had an intimate group of like, you know, 10 to 15 people. And there was one woman who went inside, you know, we go in one at a time, and she went inside and she was just like, I don't ever feel sadness or grief or anything. Like, I just never feel that. And then she started lecturing about how blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and I sat there and I just, you know, allowed the space, of course. And then she went back into our circle and I just was so curious to see how would that play out. The next person came in and dove right into their deep sense of, you know, what they were holding, their grief, because we were all able to support ourselves. Yeah. The part of me felt like, I know that that's the story she's telling herself right now. And she may, you know, that is how she connects with her reality in that sense. And there was a little part of me, and maybe that was a selfish part of me, just to bring it open, that was like, I want you to feel. I want
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no,
feel.
I, yeah.
Like, you are really, I want you to feel sad. Like, I don't really want her to feel sad, but part
of me. I totally get it.
I want to know what that, like, what is some, you know, there was just a part of me that was like, is that serving her in that moment? Is it, I started questioning. It made me question it all, but the invitation there is just like, everyone's going to be where they are, and we all have to honor that however we're showing up and whatever's real for us in that moment, and not tell other people or lecture other people.
Totally.
Feel that in order to transcend it, you know, like that's the only way to really be, is to transcend it. Like, we have to be careful with that, because that can be dangerous to allowing other people to have their process, which is so important.
Yeah. And I mean, I deal with that, you know, my family's coming for Christmas when we're with our family, and like, you know, my brothers and their wives and everything. And I get to, you know, take a breath and meet them where they're at and create the beauty that we know we create and connect on the levels that we connect best on. And the other stuff that doesn't work, then it's just like, let's not talk about that, or, you know, like lovingly, but you know, there's no point in trying to make some, like my brothers haven't done the training, you know? And here I am, you know, 10 years into it, or 7 years into it. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is my life. You don't want to know me. You don't care what I do. And I know how amazing it would be for you and all these things. And they're not there. And I get to just be like, okay. And doesn't mean I give up. Doesn't mean I'm still not a stand for it. It means I accept where they're at and I accept my results.
And you just show up in the end. You just show up as
exactly.
You are. And it can be the seed, it can be the invitation.
And guess what? They have never come for Christmas, the two of them, with their families. So there's my result. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think so many of us can relate to that, you know, with how we show up in life and the different points of view that our families hold. I mean, sometimes we're all on the same page in certain ways, but then other times it's all right. And then it almost feels exhausting being with our family sometimes. And that if we allow that to be our story, we can.
Exactly.
You know, and being in service. And the other thing that's beautiful, I think, about being in service is that when we come from this place of being in service, that idea of hiding because we don't feel good enough has to be thrown out the window, because if we're in service to the world, we can only show up fully, because it's not just about us. It's about everyone that we affect. It's about the greater movement. It's about throwing that pebble in the pond and letting those ripples, you know, out. And so being in service means being fully engaged, showing up fully in who we are, and continuing to do that work so we can be in deeper service to the world.
It's like being outwardly focused. You know, we say that all the time in part three, when people get in their stuff and they're like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, whatever. It's like, just go be in service. You'll be fine.
Beautiful. And then that brings us to community. You know, and I know too, so intimately, you know, creating community. And so, like, you, again, I want to read another quote that actually was in your book, and I think it's beautiful. You say, community is a context, an environment that is created for the purpose of furthering its individuals and the group as a whole toward a vision.
That's it.
right? So we're talking about being a
kid. Need we say more?
Right, there it is, period, done, end of interview. But that is it. And it's like this whole idea of like, how do we become catalysts for world peace? That's what we're talking about today, right? How do we become catalysts for world peace? And it's like holding that vision together is so much more powerful.
Yeah.
Right? It's like we come together and we synergize. You know, we magnify our magnificence, as I love to say. You know, because like one person can make a huge difference. 10 people.
Yeah.
Right? And when we share some vision, oh my God, and we just synergize. Like our ideas bounce off of each other and they become something totally new that we couldn't have come up with alone. Right?
Yeah, and just looking at the word context, you know, like an environment. So like when you get people that are standing for the same vision and believing like that, you know, let's say it's unity and peace and love and gratitude. And like, that's what we're committed to having in the world. The moment you create that environment, and anyone that comes into that environment, it's like the fertile soil for that to grow. Mm. And so we all become that soil as a whole to have all of that grow. And I love community. I'm the kind of person that even when I go to like a game, like a basketball game or something when I was younger, and everybody stands up and does the wave. Just when I see that kind of unity, it brings tears to my eyes every time. You know, when people are singing together at Christmas caroling and they're all singing and they're going crazy. It brings up that feeling of like, wow, we're all like the same vision right now. We're doing the same thing and we want the same thing and we're all aligned and doing it. And that's, you know, what I love about community.
I know. And to really be able to feel that, like when you're saying that, what came through for me is I've been out to Burning Man a few times. You know, I'm sure most people know what that is. If not, you can look it up, Burning Man. And on the last day on Sunday that we do a temple burn, and it's, you know, the whole week people go in and they pray and the vision is of, you know, releasing or surrendering to or whatever is alive for you. And they put up photos and they write things on the temple and they leave gifts and all this stuff is here. And then on the last day, the temple is burned. And whereas like when we burn the man, it's like this crazy ruckus, like fire dancers, like it's a party.
Right.
When the temple burns, it's silence. And everybody stands around and it's super quiet. And then there becomes this wave. You're saying the wave. And it's, instead of doing like a wave, it's like a wave of Om.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine like thousands and thousands, thousands of people standing around in a giant circle, or in the center is this temple burning that we all put something into. And then it starts, Om.
Oh my God.
Om.
Awesome.
Om. And it goes around and around and around. And you're just like, it is such an intense feeling of surrender, not just as in yourself, but in as a collective. What are we, not just what am I releasing, what are we surrendering to? Yeah. What are we releasing? What are we stepping into? What's alive in us? You know, how are we honoring the sacred? Like all of these things, we all just share. Now we're sharing that vision together and it's so powerful.
I love that.
Even just that capturing that moment is a sense of community.
Yeah.
Where it's a vision.
I want to go. I still haven't been to Burning Man, but that's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an experience for sure. So yeah, all of this, Joe. So bringing us through those principles, let's name those principles again that we just talked through.
Yeah. So it's integrity, responsibility, gratitude, service, and community. And, you know, I say this in the book too, like, you may have other principles or want to exchange some of them that are important to you. So as long as you find what it is that supports you in living that life of purpose, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be my principles. These work for me. And so if you want to take them on, go for it, but there may be something else, you know, it's more about like being willing to get behind yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And ultimately I think in a lot of ways too, it comes down into that sense of responsibility and being able to create the world that we want to create by knowing ourselves deeply and living that out, you know, pushing the conversations that aren't in alignment with our higher self. And I know you have an exercise that we talked about bringing.
Yeah, it's like a little tool, and it can really work profoundly. It's called the because and tool.
Okay.
And it actually supports you in beginning to take responsibility, and then what that can then do once you get to that space. It's actually fairly simple. So I'm going to ask you a question,
okay.
And then we're going to apply it for you, and then talk about it, and then we can do some other examples. So okay. Give me a scenario or something where you actually are still, or maybe in the past, but that you're still holding on to something, like, you know, because this happened, I am now this, or, you know, do you have something like that?
I do. Awesome. I have something like that. I have something like that that's really alive for me. Because I have a toddler, mm-hmm. I am always short on time.
Oh, that's awesome.
I never have enough time to get things
done. That's awesome. Okay. So what's happening now is you're actually collapsing having a toddler with not having enough time. You're actually making that dependent on each other. So what I say is, now I want you to change the because to an and sometimes you have to kind of change the sentence around. So yours would actually go, I have a toddler and I'm short on time.
Right.
So now say that.
I have a toddler and I'm short on time.
So now you've like taken off the responsibility on the toddler,
right,
being a victim to the toddler for not having enough time.
Right.
And now the responsibility is on you. You have a toddler and you don't have time. So now that you don't have time is all on you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I can already
and,
hear that. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, it's super, super powerful, because what happens sometimes is, I'm gonna bring in a really like deep one, because it serves people that work with people in areas. So for instance, you could say, because I was raped, I have no self-worth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So because I was raped, I have no self-worth. So now you might have someone working with you as a coach, and they're saying, you know, they're trying to say, yes, you have self-worth. You know, let's work on getting you self-worth. But because you have those collapsed, the moment a coach is coaching you on having self-worth, you're hearing that they're negating that you were raped.
Right, right, right.
Because you have them collapsed. So you can't let go of that horrible self-worth, because that means that the rape never happened. And you know that it happened. So the moment you're able to go, I was raped and I have low self-esteem or low self-worth, now you've uncollapsed it. Now you can be like, yes, you were raped. And now, here and now, you have low self-esteem. Let's coach you on your self-esteem that you've now, in this moment, because you're not really in that event right now, we can start working with you on that self-esteem. And not, it doesn't mean that the other thing didn't happen anymore.
Right. It's not invalidating that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's also super powerful. Now I'm going to take it to a really light one.
Yeah.
It could be, I'm late because there was a line at Starbucks. Okay. So now I'm off the hook. Right?
Right. Oh,
I'm off the hook.
We all know this kind of an excuse.
Right? This always.
Traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the moment I go, I'm late, and there was a line at Starbucks, it just ends up, listen, I'm late. Now I got to say, I'm sorry I'm late.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm committed to being on time in the future. I respect your time. And, you know, I acknowledge that I was late. Instead of like, oh, there was a line at Starbucks, and then we just brush over
it. Not my fault.
Yeah.
Right. We're like, ah, yes, yes. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can even feel how that just completely shifted. Even for me, like, I have a toddler and I don't have enough time, or I feel short on time. It's like, okay, so now I can really deal with, like, how do I create time management in my life? It has everything to do with just me and nothing to do with my beautiful, beloved son.
Right.
Spend time with, and who I'm really not blaming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Into certain hours. Yeah. Yeah.
I get it. You know, I get that one.
Me too, I know. That's an awesome exercise. That's really great to remember. And it's amazing how just changing that word, you know, gives it a whole new meaning and literally feels different. It feels different in my body.
Awesome. I'm glad. And you can use it for anything. I use it all the time. I catch myself all the time, you know?
Yep. Yep. Now I'm hearing so many times that I've said, well, I'm late because, you know, of this or This is good. I'm going to keep this in my mind.
Yeah. Even the woman that edited my book, she was the editor. She's like, she would call me. She'd be like, God, you're in my head all the time now. It was like all these things.
It's awesome. It's a good thing to have in our heads, right?
Again, yeah.
It continues with that, you know, the self-experiment of life.
Yeah.
And I mean self with a capital S, right? Like the self, yeah. Like we're continuously coming back to what does it mean to be me?
Yeah.
How am I showing up in the world? You know, what is my community and how am I in service? You know, and just really taking responsibility for our lives and creating this world that we're all part of. So this is
I'm excited.
So empowering. It's so empowering, Joe. And I think right now, you know, this world is as intense as it feels. And as much as we're sitting in that, it's also this incredible invitation for all of us and all the work that we're doing to show up 10,000 times more powerfully.
Yeah. And inclusive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like super inclusive. Like everyone, we're all the same. And it doesn't matter what our interpretations or our stories are. Like we're all the same. Let's just keep loving on each other and standing for each other. As you know, and I had this is actually interesting, or it's a good point, is some people are like, let's just love. I'm also saying we also get to be the stand. You know, people, they come to the gratitude training and they immediately think that we're just going to hold hands and go, yes, gratitude. No, we're going to push every button that you have so that when your buttons are pushed, what do you choose? Because it's when our buttons are pushed, and all of our buttons are pushed right now with this election.
Oh, yeah.
All of them. Yep. For both camps. It's pushed. And so it's like reactive.
Right.
And
I'm saying, rather than responsive.
Yeah. Let's start responding to what's going on and deciding what I stand for.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of focusing on what we stand against too, that's really,
yes.
It's like we recognize what we don't want, but we put our energy in what we do want.
Yeah.
And what we want to move forward into as individuals on a personal level,
yeah.
And as a community, as a collective, you know,
yeah.
Human society that affects everything on this planet, every other being, the earth's integrity, like all of it. Like this is,
yeah.
And it is like the stand.
Yeah.
It really is the stand, you know?
It is.
Oh, so awesome, Joe. Thank you so much. I mean, this was so insightful, you know, and I want to encourage everybody to, like, you know, we went through some of the main principles in your book, but your book is so rich and there's so much more to dive into. So if you love what we just talked about, you know, it's definitely check out Source Movement and they can find that on your website, right?
Yeah, and they can, it's on Amazon too, just Source Movement by Joe Engelson.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And the gratitude training, and what's so super cool, so we have a couple gifts from you
that yes.
We're so glad to have. So the first one is this free download that you guys can download right now, right here next to this video. And that is your talk about how to be a catalyst for world peace that you did at the Live, Love, Thrive Women's Empowerment Conference.
And it was 2 days after the election.
Oof, yes.
It was crazy.
I'm sure that's going to be good. I can't wait.
Oh, 5 days. Yeah. Yeah. I had an amazing time there, and I'm not releasing that talk to the public for some time. I want to like decide, you know, where I want to do it. So this is an exclusive for the people that are watching this right now.
Extra special. So we're going to be the first to watch it, you guys. So make sure you check that video out. And then you're also, as part of our upgrade package, we're talking about the gratitude training and how incredibly amazing it is. And you are actually giving us part one. There's three
parts.
We're getting part one for free. It's a $600 value as part of the upgrade package. So you guys, if you're feeling called, you know, take a look at that. It's of course all the videos and audios, all the master classes, all these incredible bonuses, including the first part of the gratitude training. And 50% of all of our proceeds are going to Children and Nature Network and all of these other amazing charities. So it's just a great way to pay it forward.
Yeah, and we have the trainings now. We're opening our fifth city. So we're in 5 cities. So wherever it works for you.
Yeah, Joe, this is so awesome. Thank you for you and all the incredible ways that you're showing up in the world as a catalyst and creating this platform for all of us, you know, to dive into ourselves and stand up for our world in a much more powerful way.
And thank you so much for doing this. I mean, I'm always so inspired by you because I know that you are a full-time stay-at-home mom too, and I'm not that. And I don't have time, so I can only imagine the fact that you're creating
It's an and, Joe. It's an and.
Yeah. You're amazing. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm just grateful to be on this journey with you. We're all together, right?
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.